Expectations by Mark Evans, Volume 2, Chapter the 5th, An Already Bad Life Made Worse, but Sort of on Purpose.
I am so irate at my daughter and her foolish husband's lateness, Sirwell, that I have run out of angry words.
Might I suggest angry sounds, sir?
An excellent idea.
Sir Philip, forgive our lateness.
This is my fault, Father, for my pregnant stomach is now so enormous that I move only with difficulty. Indeed, this doorway is a little narrow.
Should I use the massive baby stomach horn, dearest?
Oh, please! And now I am through.
My goodness, you are the size of a whale who has eaten another larger whale.
Well, the doctors have told me to eat for two people.
So your bump is all food?
Oh, no. To make it easier to eat enough, I'm wearing a small kitchen under my dress. See? A miniature stove, some bijou pots and pans, and a tiny chef.
Hello! Soup, anyone?
He can cook lunch for us while we hear your story.
Capital. Let us continue.
Begin when you are ready, Sir Philip.
What? You have no strange time-wasting devices for once?
No. It's just me and my trusty horse-drawn pencil.
I see. Everything was distinct.
Right on, Nibbin. Whoa, boy! Slow down! Alas, my horse-drawn pencil has been drawn away by the horse.
Then just listen. Everything was distinctly unsplendid and anti-good. My best friend, Harry Biscuit, and his wife, my sister Pippa, were in debtor's prison. I had accidentally married my evil ex-guardian, Mr. Gently Benevolent. And most non-terrific of all, I had inadvertently killed the woman I loved, Miss Ripley Fecund. Distraught, I had thrown myself into the River Thames to drown.
Must not swim. Must drown.
Despair weighed me down as if I had a metal elephant in my soul. I plunged down and further down. The prospect of death momentarily cheered me and I floated up a bit. But that in turn depressed me again and it was down, down, deeper and down. And then, suddenly, I was grabbed and hauled aboard a boat.
Here, look what I got, Mrs. Scrunge.
Ah, well done, Mr. Scrunge. 6 corpses from the river in one night. New personal best.
Is this heaven or hell?
Blimey, Mr. Scrunge. A talking corpse.
No, Mrs. Scrunge. We haven't pulled aboard a floating body we could sell for medical research or meat and get £20 for. We have rescued a live person.
Oh, joy. A living man saved. Though we will make no money from him, our souls will grow richer.
Let me raise my heavy wooden oar in delight at his rescue. Oh, but mercy me, I have only gone and dropped it on his fragile skull.
Ow! Why did you drop your oar on me?
Oh, still alive? How lucky we are.
Let us weigh anchor and head to shore to celebrate. But oh, woe. I have carelessly and definitely undeliberately let the anchor fall on our saved soul, who must surely now be dead.
Ow! Really hurts.
Thank the Lord. He lives yet. Brilliant.
But see how weak he is.
Oh, he is, Mr. Scrunge. Perhaps we could drive the weakness away with poison.
An excellent and clearly curative suggestion.
These two well-meaning souls had saved me. Yet now their ignorant river ways might kill me, which, incidentally, was fine because of my aforementioned suicidal despair. In my mind, a battle raged.
Why did you die, Ripley? Dear Harry and Pippa, why were you imprisoned? Why were your children captured by Mr. Benevolent?
And it was as if I heard a chorus of voices answering.
Because of you, Pippin. Because of you.
No!
I longed for death, yet it did not come. The poison must have been broken because it had no effect.
Still not dead, Mrs. Scrunge?
Oh, praise the Lord. No, really. Thank you, God.
And then I realized, God must not want me to die yet. He wanted to punish me first. I had to live, so God could make me really, really miserable before I died a bit later. I hauled myself from the bottom of the boat and over the side.
He's in the river again!
Great, we'll drown him. Drown him better, I mean.
I had no strength to swim, so let the current take me where God willed. Misery gripped me like a boa constrictor or a waistcoat which I'd grown far too fat for. Until finally, I was washed up at the edge of the river. I staggered into the nearest street and God's plan became clear. For he had led me to the worst place on his earth, the East End of London, in the first half of the 19th century. The smell was overwhelming. A mix of excrement, jellied eel and unwashed urchin. I could hear people dying of cholera or the typhus.
Oh, no! Cholera! Oh,
not the typhus!
And everywhere I looked were criminal folk. Scallywags, scoundrels, ne'er-do-wells, rogues, rascals, rapscallions, cut purses, pocket slicers, wallet grippers, waistcoat waders, and trouser purloiners. Yet their beady, thieving eyes had missed something, for at my feet in the muddy, horsey, excrementy road was a coin.
Half a crown? God must have sent it. But why? Aha! I am outside a public house. His purpose is clear. Hello. It is God's will that I spend half a crown on rough drink to induce shame, regret, and a strong feeling of personal debasement.
Well, you could have a pint of sailor's rum. It's like normal rum, but saltier for various unpleasant reasons. But for true soul laceration, I recommend gin. Old Mother Gin's special Drowning Your Sorrows Vintage Oblivion Gin.
Perfect. Here is half a crown. It is like drinking liquid sandpaper. Ah, my face has gone numb. Is that normal?
That is synesthesia.
Now my mind feels numb also. Everything seems to matter so much less. Apart from the sharp stabbing pains in my liver, I feel marvellous. Like I am wrapped in a warm, ginny blanket. But wait, who is taking my gin blanket away from me?
That's the gin wearing off.
No! I remember everything. I have done so much wrong.
I stumbled outside, desperate for more gin money. And then the clouds parted, and a ray of sunlight illuminated something on the ground.
It is a bin. The invention that once made me rich. But it is broken. I, Pip Bin, am looking at a broken bin. It is a metaphor or simile for my own life. I do not know which, but I do not care. That is the beauty of gin. It makes you carefree of the precise application of literary terms.
I swapped the broken bin for more gin, and thus my new life began. A cycle of degradation and utter depravity, broken only by the odd bout of moral grimness, which, by comparison, was quite a treat.
Ooh, moral grimness, what a lovely change.
And then, one day, I was shocked to see two figures from my past. The first was my sister Pippa, who was administering charity to some urchins.
Hello, urchins. Would you like some charity?
The second was her husband and my best friend, Harry Biscuit.
Hello, the poor and downtrodden. I have an announcement.
The poor and downtrodden ignored him. But then Harry seemed to grow in stature and a natural authority exuded from his next statement.
Oi, you lot, shut it! Thank you. Now, my wife and I may seem to live a gilded life of privilege, but we, like you, have suffered the pain of poverty and loss, and we come to offer help. For example, I have noticed many deaths around here from cholera and the typhus.
Oh, the typhus! Oh.
Well, I have applied the science of science to the problem and have discovered the source of these dread plagues. It is that water pump over there.
Harry pointed across the street and people turned to look. Beside the pump stood two salesmen, hard at work.
Cholera! Get your cholera here! Free the typhus with every gallon of water!
And now none of you will die of cholera or the typhus no more. Not again, nor never know.
Since I had last seen him, Harry had acquired great gravitas. And then he turned and saw me.
Pip? Pip-Bin? Is that you?
Dear brother, we thought you were dead.
And I thought you were in debtor's prison.
We got out, which was quite a relief.
Yes, it turns out debtor's prison is nowhere near as nice as the name would imply. And the name implies it would be awful.
Why are you living in such squalor, dear brother?
I have destroyed everything I have ever loved, and so God has willed that I live a wretched pauper's life.
Ooh, what fun with fish and a ball to balance.
Pauper, not porpoise.
But dear brother, you have done no wrong.
It is my fault Mr. Benevolent has your 23 sons in his evil grasp.
Oh yes, there is that.
No, Harry, that is a scar on our hearts, but it is not his fault. Come home with us, Pip.
I cannot.
But I'm your best friend.
And I am your sister.
My best friend now is gin, and my only sister is a bottle of gin.
I ran away as fast as I could, which, because of all the gin, was not very fast, and certainly not in a straight line.
Why? Why must I remember? Why can I not remember? Why is the only thing I can probably not remember the word for not remembering?
Do you really wish to forget?
That's the word. Yes, I do wish to forget.
Then follow me.
Well, you may be a suspicious-looking stranger, but God must have sent you, so I shall.
I followed him down a lane, then into an alley, from there into a back alley, and thence into a darkened alley, which is the most sinister type of alley of all. He beckoned me into a building where the air was thick with smoke and the floor was thick with sleeping people.
Welcome to my restaurant.
Why did you just wink at me? And why are all your customers asleep?
That is because they are full.
Again, you wink.
Now, perhaps sir would like to start with some spring rolls.
What's in them?
Bean sprouts, water chestnuts, opium.
Oh, unusual. Hang on. This isn't a restaurant. It's an opium den. Hence all the winking. And the opium.
Sir is most astute. And now, why not enjoy a bowl of complimentary prawn crack?
My spring rolls arrived, and wanting only to forget, I devoured them. At first, nothing happened. And then, suddenly, the world slipped sideways and my vision was filled with bright colours. Reds and blues and greens and yellows, more vivid than I'd ever seen.
It's like a special happy rainbow. Please, sir, may I have some more?
I eagerly consumed everything until, finally, I was brought a fortune cookie which said, "You are now addicted to opium."
I feel sleepy.
Perhaps you would like a liqueur.
Do you mean opium?
You're catching on. This is the finest opium juice. Once you pop, you just can't stop.
I drank, and as I drifted into a haze, I became aware of voices.
Is it done, Sternbeater?
It is, Mr. Benevolent. He's now completely addicted to opium, not to mention monosodium glutamate.
Sternbeater, Benevolent, familiar names. Can't think why.
Can he hear us?
Possibly. But he will not remember.
Excellent. Listen, Pip-Bin. You are now in my power, and I'm going to destroy your soul with my malevolence, cruelty, and pure hatred. But mostly with opium.
I drifted into unconsciousness, and when I awoke, I was in a long, low room. Around the walls sat some boys, their eyes glinting with a feral criminality. After a few minutes, a man entered. He was tall, but hunched. He wore a wide felt hat, and dark ringlets of hair fell about his face.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Abraham Bagel.
How do you do?
You are welcome to my humble dwelling, and you are just in time for a 10 o'clock mass.
10 o'clock mass? Then you are Catholic?
Of course.
Right, it's just I sort of assumed you were Jewish.
Why would you think that? Oi, vai. Yes, you, vai. Stop it. Sorry, one of the boys is messing around. His name's Vai.
And why have you brought me here?
Because of this. the bill for your Oriental feast, my boy.
£18.06.
Opium is not cheap. You see, it's taken years of development to get it right. Apium was a disaster, as was BPM. CPM just didn't work. D through NPM all tasted too much like off milk. But opium, we've cracked it with opium.
I cannot afford this.
Do not worry, for I've settled it with Mr. Pushington Sternbeater.
Sternbeater? I might have known. Such an evil family. Still, you have settled my bill. That is generous of you.
Yes, we're not all money-grabbing Catholics like the books portray. However, I ask a service in return.
What service?
These boys, you see, are the finest pickpockets in London, and I want you to join them.
Become a criminal? Never.
Tell me, how do you feel?
Fine.
Do you not feel the need for more opium?
No. Well, maybe a bit. Quite a bit, actually. All right, if I'm being honest, a lot. A really enormous amount. Give me opium!
Only if you join my criminal gang.
Yes, yes, I will. Just give me more.
All too easy.
And so, God's will, and definitely not my own character defects, led me into crime. My job was to distract well-to-do-looking people with polite conversation.
How do you do? The weather today seems clement.
Yes, the clementest day for a while.
And then the rest of the gang would subtly abscond with their wallet and watch.
Nick it! Nick it! Nick it!
I say, you don't think someone has just subtly absconded with my wallet and watch, do you?
Not that I noticed.
I became gaunt and hollow-cheeked. My mind became vacant and slow. And one day, I did something that undid me entirely.
Today, my boy... Oh, actually, you're so out of it, I'm not even going to bother with doing the voice. Today, I have a special target for you, Pip-Bin.
What target?
Those two people over there dispensing charity and goody-goody goodwill. I hate that.
Even through my opium haze, I recognize them.
Hello, poverty-stricken small girl. Have a yummy bowl of charity.
And is that Ricketts? Well, have a pair of specially pre-bent Ricketts trousers.
I could not rob Pippa and Harry... And yet there was delicious opium to consider.
Look, dear Harry, an opium fiend.
How do you do? The weather is most clementine, etc. Are you distracted?
Pip? Pip-Bin?
No, I'm someone else.
How are you? Apart from obviously being addicted to opium.
Dear Pip, I did not recognise you.
Why, a gang of boys. Hello, gang of boys.
Nick it! Nick it! Nick it!
The gang swarmed around them and took everything. Their money, their jewellery, their clothes.
Oh, we have been robbed and are now naked.
Their needs were obviously greater than ours, Pippa dearest.
For a second, they reminded me of our sons.
I could not watch as they comforted each other. I slunk... slinked? Slank? I slanked off to claim my reward.
Well done, Pip-Bin. Now, have some crispy deep-fried opium with pancakes.
And then... I heard something that shattered me like an over-twanged school ruler.
Harumble! We have done a robbery!
Harumble? That is the word invented by my best friend, Harry Biscuit. He swore he would never use it again until his sons were found.
Harry Biscuit? But that was once the name of our father.
And that means you are my nephews.
Uncle Pip?
How could I have not recognized you?
Because you take too much opium.
How did I not stop this?
Again, I blame the opium. Anyway, we quite enjoy being cockney thief boys.
But you rob your own parents. And it is all my fault.
I fled with only one intention, to end my misery and death. I ran all the way to the marshes outside London, found a particularly marshy bit of marsh, lay down, and waited to be marshed to death.
Why, God? Why have you done this to me?
It is not God's doing, Pip-Bin.
Mr. Parsimonious.
Mist swirled around me, and suddenly, there was the spectral form of my dead friend, Mr. Skinflint Parsimonious, ironically the most generous of men.
Yes, it is I, come to aid you in this time of need. And I bring gifts, have this ghost jam, and this ghost model of the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
I deserve no gifts. And anyway, they're rubbish.
You seem upset.
I am the sorest wretch on God's earth. It was my fault Pippa and Harry lost their boys.
It was actually Mr. Benevolent's fault. And now you have found them again.
But I killed you.
Again, that was really Mr. Benevolent.
And I killed Ripley Fecund, the only woman I ever loved, except for my first wife, who also died, though not at my hands. It's all my fault.
Oh, will you get a grip? Oh, it's all my fault. Oh, pity me. I'm an opium addict. Whingy, whiny, whingy, woo.
But it is God's will that I be punished this way.
It is not God's will. You have done this to yourself. Now, buck up. Return Harry and Pippa's children to them and defeat Mr. Benevolent.
Then do I get some opium?
Better than that. You will have hopium.
Yes. I see what you've done there.
And he was gone. A new resolve flooded through me, which doubled when I heard a familiar voice.
Pip-Bin, where are you?
Harry!
Pip-Bin, how glad I am to have found you.
I am sorry I ran before Harry Biscuit. It was from shame.
And do you still have shame?
I do.
I'll go then.
Stay! This is redeemable shame. For I have found your children.
Oh, joy! Where?
They are the gang of boys who robbed you.
I knew they looked familiar.
We must return to London and rescue them. Oh, I'm so cold and hungry.
I have brought clothes for you.
Thank you, dear Harry.
They're a special invention, which has made me a great deal of money.
Harry, I rather think the suit has been invented before.
Not like this. Look in your left breast pocket.
There is soup in here.
A completely waterproof pocket full of soup. And the right breast pocket?
A fish.
The left and right trouser pockets contain some roast beef and carrot, respectively, and in the trouser turnips, gravy and rice pudding. I call it my lunch suit.
But it is brilliant.
I'm working on a follow-up called the dinner jacket.
I don't suppose there's a pocket full of opium, is there?
Alas, no.
Then I must go cold turkey.
Ah, handkerchief pocket.
It is good to see you, Harry Biscuit.
And you, Pip-Bin.
You seem so confident.
I am. I am now a successful inventor, and I haven't done anything idiotic in a very long time. This way, I think. Oh, I seem to have fallen into a bog.
I dragged him out, and we headed straight to Mr. Bagel's den. Harry dispatched a messenger boy to summon Pippa, and together we entered to rescue the boys.
Father! Harumble!
Oh, Harumble indeed. How good it is to use that word once more.
And Uncle Pip, are you all right now, or still a bit of a skanky addict?
I am well now, thanks to your father.
Oh, a touching family reunion. What a shame that there is no buffet.
Ah, Mr. Bagel. Hang on. You sound like Mr. Benevolent.
Of course I'm him. For God's sake, I wasn't even doing the accent for the past few weeks.
The opium must have addled my ears.
Ah, yes. Opium, your favourite. Sternbeater, I think you have a customer.
Ah, yes. What will it be, sir? The opium feast for two, but all to yourself?
No. I am done with opium. Although, perhaps one for the road, and then a few more for after I've come off the road for a rest.
No, Pip-Bin, no!
Yes, Pip-Bin, yes.
I moved closer to him. He held out his whole tempting case for, and I reached out and took it.
That's good.
And threw it straight into his open mouth.
No! Too much opium! Oh, the visions! There is a spider with the face of Jesus, but the legs of a tiger. I'm definitely going to die. I've been hoist by my own petard in a moral lesson for everyone.
With that, he plunged out of the window and into the river below.
Why, that's a stroke of luck, Mrs. Scrunge. A body falling in right beside our boat.
Is it properly dead?
I'll check. Yes.
And now it's your turn, Benevolent.
I think not. Boys, kill him.
No!
Harumble for my boys and their newfound moral rectitude.
Ha! All part of my plan.
How is that part of your plan?
And you asking me how that is part of my plan is part of my plan, also.
As we struggled to break free of his cunning grammatical trap, Benevolent ran out of the room, up the stairs and onto the roof. Harry, the boys and I gave chase and emerged to see him next to a large telescope.
What is he doing?
I have no idea, Pip-Bin.
From behind us came the noise of more footsteps, and suddenly there was Pippa.
Our children! It is our children!
Mama! Oh,
and dear brother Pip, I have brought someone to see you.
Then I saw a figure I thought I would never see again.
ripely fecund. Alive. But how?
Remember how I said I would keep your letters next to my heart?
They stopped the sword.
Well, ish. They slowed it down so it only seriously injured me. But if you had written at greater length, or on thicker paper, or just not accidentally stabbed me at all, I'd have been fine.
Now let's kill Mr. Benevolent and we can all be happy.
I doubt if any of you will ever be happy again, for I have summoned them.
Summoned who?
This is a special communication telescope pointed straight at Mars, where my allies have been waiting for my signal.
What allies?
They live on planet Mars. You do the English.
Martians? But that is preposterous.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1.
He said. Yet still they come.
Enough of your evil nonsense. Pass me that pistol, Harry.
Here you go.
That is a grapefruit, Harry.
Oh, sorry. I'm wearing a pair of my new prototype fruit slacks. One pistol.
Thank you.
Oh, surely you wouldn't shoot your own lovely wife.
Consider that a divorce.
Your petty human bullets cannot hurt me. I've been dead already, remember? Au revoir, Pippa Bin.
He leaped from the parapet and was away, running across the rooftops of the East End. We could not stop him. But I had more important matters in mind.
Let him go, for I have something to say. Miss Ripley Fecund, who it turns out is not actually dead, will you marry me?
I will.
Harumble!
And we cheered on the rooftop. I was healed, my love's not dead, Harry and Pippa were reunited with their children, and the only cloud on the horizon was Mr. Benevolent's threatened Martian invasion. It was a preposterous claim. Or was it?
Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. Ooh, is this a trick question?
You shall find out next week.
Come, dear husband, let us leave. My father has many difficult memories to contemplate.
No, I have a delicious supper to contemplate, and then a bottle of brandy to peruse. But when you return, you shall hear how Mr. Benevolent's dreadful threat came true, and how I battled an evil alien enemy for the soul of the planet itself.
Bleak Expectations was written by Mark Evans and starred Richard Johnson as Sir Philip Bin, Tom Allen as Young Pip, Anthony Head as Mr. Benevolent, Lawrence Howarth as Mr. Parsimonious, Jeffrey Whitehead as Sternbeater, Susie Kane as Pippa, Sarah Hadland as Lily and Mrs. Scrunge, James Barkman as Harry Biscuit, and Mark Evans as Mr. Scrunge and Sundry Gentlemen. It was produced by Gareth Edwards.